in our text for this evening from the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. We began with the large and seemingly most important figure of first century world history, Caesar Augustus. His given name was Gaius Octavius. He was born in 63 BC into an old, wealthy equestrian branch of the plebeian Octavi family. He was adopted posthumously by his maternal great-uncle, Gaius Julius Caesar, in 44 BC, following Caesar's assassination. Augustus began his reign as emperor of the Roman Empire in 27 BC and ushered in an era of relative peace known as the Pax Romana. In that same year, following his defeat of Mark Antony and Cleopatra, the Roman Senate voted him new titles, and he officially became Imperator Caesar Divi Filius Augustus. Divi Filius means son of the divine. In a statue from the first century, known as the Augustus of Prima Porta, Augustus is clearly portrayed as divine. A tiny Cupid rides a dolphin at Augustus's feet, a reference to the idea that the Julian family was descended from the goddess Venus. The Cupid in this statue, the first time I saw it, looked to me like a little baby. If it were, what a perfect illustration, in a way, this statue would be of what Luke is telling us. It's easy to spend our entire lives noticing the big things in this world, the Augustuses, and miss the small things, like a baby. As N.T. Wright has said about Jesus, the birth of this little boy is the beginning of a confrontation between the kingdom of God and all its apparent weakness, insignificance, and vulnerability, and the kingdoms of this world. Augustus never heard of Jesus of Nazareth. But within a century or so, his successors in Rome had not only heard of him, they were taking steps to obliterate his followers. Within just over three centuries, the emperor himself became a Christian. Sometimes, the small things of this world, like a baby, make a big difference in the long run. As one unknown poet put it, more light than we can learn, more wealth than we can treasure, more love than we can earn, more peace than we can measure, because one child is born. The Southern preacher Vance Havner once said many years ago, at Christmas we say much of the meaning of his coming to earth, the mission, the message, but we sometimes overlook the manner of the Advent. God set it up in a pattern we never would have dreamed. Born in a lowly stable, to a peasant couple, in an insignificant town, in an obscure corner of the Roman Empire. Think how we would have arranged it in this publicity-mad day. That same pattern, my Lord followed all his days, and the church might take a hint today when Hollywood sets the style. After telling us of Augustus, Luke tells us about his census. And I think his main point in doing this is to show us how God is working behind the scenes through human means to cause his son to be born just where he wanted it to happen. For of course, Jesus in his birth, something none of us have any control over where we're born, he fulfilled the prophecies that were centuries old. It makes me wonder, what circumstances might God be orchestrating behind the scenes to bring about exactly what he wants to have happen in your life and in mine? 11 years ago tonight, we moved into a home in Monterey, not California, but Virginia. And so the move that we made this week is our second move that's taken place at Christmas time. Now that may not sound all that unusual to you, but that first Christmas time move for us 11 years ago was unusual for us. And the reason was because we'd been living in Ireland, and we had not expected to come back to the United States at that time. We had moved to Ireland using one-way plane tickets. We planned to spend over a year there. We even looked into planting a church there. But when we found that our visas would not allow us to stay any longer than a year, we began to look at when we could return to the United States. Still, we were planning to celebrate Christmas in our Irish home. We had bought a Christmas tree and all the rest. But in searching the internet over a 6-month period that we looked at, we found that there was one day when the airfare was half the price of all the other days in that 6-month period. Can you believe it? And it was December 21st. The time that you would think would be the most expensive to travel anywhere by air. I was so amazed at seeing that price on the internet, I even called up Aer Lingus and asked them, do you understand why that you have this fare, number one, and why you have it? And they couldn't tell me. They had no idea. So I snatched it up. And all five of us flew from Shannon Airport to Baltimore Washington International for $1,000 one way. Something I had never heard of before or since. And so we moved into our new home, which was just the perfect place for us, just a block away from the school that my boys would need to go to. And it was a house that my brother, in a way, had prepared for us. He was running a ministry, a youth camp in the mountains of Virginia, and he had this house for staff people that worked under him. Only he didn't have any staff people living in the house at the time. And when he first told me about it, I thought, yeah, right, I know the kind of houses you've rented before for staff people. But when we got there, it was the perfect place for us. And so we moved in on Christmas Eve. And 2 weeks later, my brother was diagnosed with cancer. And 5 months later, he went home to be with the Lord. Something we never could have imagined. And certainly a painful circumstance for everyone in his family. But after the fact, and ever since, I've never been able to stop thinking, what an amazing orchestration of circumstances that was. Something I never would have chosen, but God did it perfectly because I think he wanted us to be there, close to my family, so that we could encourage and comfort one another through that difficult time. Sometimes the way God orchestrates circumstances is pleasant. Sometimes it isn't. It probably was not too pleasant for Mary, 9 months pregnant, to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Nor was it particularly comfortable for her to give birth to her first child in a place fit for animals. But God had his good purpose in it all. And even though we don't understand it at times, God has his good purpose in the way he is orchestrating your circumstances and mine. Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 8, verse 8. He says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Notice Paul doesn't say all circumstances are good. The Bible is very honest about that. It calls evil, evil, and good, good. Paul doesn't say all things are good. He says God is working in all things for our good. Even in the painful, and even in the seemingly evil, God is working to bring about His good purposes for those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. A third thing that Luke tells us about in this passage is, as I've already alluded to, something extremely large becoming very small. The one who was and is bigger than the entire universe He created became tiny enough to fit in a feeding trough for animals. It reminds me of a C.S. Lewis story from one of his children's books, the last in the series of the Chronicles of Narnia, entitled The Last Battle. And any of you who have read the story will know that at the end, it's the end of Narnia, this world of talking beasts. It's the end of Narnia as we know it. And many of the creatures of Narnia get to pass into a whole new world. And the way they do that is through a simple stable. Isn't that interesting, the connection to Christmas and the stable in which Jesus was born? And so they go through this stable door thinking they're going into an ordinary stable, but then on the other side, some of them discover this beautiful new world, more beautiful than anything they've ever seen or imagined. And as some of the characters in the story are contemplating this, here is what they say. "It seems then," said Tyrion, smiling himself, "that the stable seen from within and the stable seen from without are two different places." "Yes," said the Lord Diggory, "its inside is bigger than its outside." "Yes," said Queen Lucy, "in our world too, a stable once had something inside it that was bigger than our whole world." That's the amazing, mind-bending message of Christmas. That the one who is bigger than the whole world once inhabited a tiny stable, and not only that, but a feeding trough for animals. If God went so far to communicate His love for us, isn't it amazing to think that anybody ever rejects that offer of love? And yet it happens, doesn't it? It's happened all the way down through history. It happened that first Christmas. We read about the innkeeper and no room in the inn. Now I know we give the innkeeper a bad rap. After all, he didn't know who Mary and Joseph were. He didn't know who the baby in Mary's womb was. Perhaps the innkeeper really had no room. Perhaps he gave to Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus the best that he had. But the point is this. We have had it explained to us who Jesus is, the Son of God who we've sung about here tonight. And yet often we still have no room for Him in the inn of our hearts and lives. He who was and is bigger than the entire universe did not simply become small on one occasion. He continues to become small enough to fit inside a human soul. In fact, small enough to fit inside every human soul who will admit Him. The hymn writer asked one of the most important questions of all time. Have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin. As he knocks and asks admission, sinner, won't you let him in? Room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now his word obey. Swing your heart's door widely open. Bid him enter while you may. Let us pray together. Father, we come here tonight, many different people from many different places, and yet we all have one thing in common. It's the need of every human being on planet Earth. The need for love. A need for love that can never be fully satisfied by any other human being. Because we need and desire to be loved by our Creator and our God. And that is the message of Christmas. That you came into this world in the form of a human being, a little baby. And you did it to show your love for us. I pray for everyone gathered here tonight. Those who've heard this message many times before, and maybe some for whom it's sinking into their mind and heart for the first time. May we simply receive the gift of your love tonight with open arms. For we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.